Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord. Some of the more famous movies have to do with people that, for whatever reason, have a loss of identity. Sometimes it's actual, you know, through psychological issues, but I think of some of the times when it's a complete loss of identity. One of the famous ones, now this is becoming an old movie already, but The Bourne Identity, Jason Bourne, and established so many more movies after the first one, but he gets in this accident where he hits his head, he doesn't know what he is, he starts finding clues about who he might be. If you remember, he opens up this bank safe, and he finds out all these passports with his picture on it, with all these different names. Could you imagine being that? You're trying to figure out who you are, and then you have this list of all these different identities, who you are. Which one are you? You ever feel that way in life where you don't know what your identity is? That you feel in this place at this identity, or at this time this identity, but a lot of times you've just lost your identity. Sometimes we can lose our identity, and maybe it's because of something that has happened, a change in life. I think of one that I hear more and more about as maybe the baby boomers now are in retirement age, is how much retirement can be a loss of identity. You go to work every day, maybe for 30 years, and you see the same people, and people look to you for wisdom, and then one day, ooh, it's done. And you've lost that identity. Or just other times in life where situations change and relationships change, and now you've lost that identity. There can be other reasons that you struggle with it, but we're going to look at understanding how Christ gives us an identity that really saves us. An identity to hold on to, and really that comes through baptism. A saved identity, one that lasts, and one that gives us some lasting results as well. As we begin, as Paul is writing to Titus, he's writing to a church leader, and he's explaining to him how to lead other Christians. He writes to him on what it means to be a leader, but then he's talking to him in the chapter before of giving advice to different types of Christians, how men should act, how children should act, how different people should act. And then in the verses before this, he talks about what we used to be, what sins we struggled with, but a change has happened. Something happened that we no longer are in those sins anymore, and we don't have to fear that, but something happened. Where Paul writes in Titus 3, verse 4, says, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared." Isn't that a fascinating introduction? A fascinating sentence. The kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. He's not saying the kindness of love our God appeared, or just our Savior appeared, but the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. When Martin Luther writes about this section, he just says this is a beautiful section of Scripture. Because what is he saying is that our Savior appeared, but what is he? He's the kindness and love of God. So if we look at this baptism of our Lord and Epiphany, what it's really about is the love of God being identified. The love of God has been identified. Why is that important? Well, the world likes to talk about love in general terms, right? As a feeling, an emotion, or, well, a God of love would do this, or a real God of love wouldn't have a hell, or he wouldn't really condemn this sin or that sin, or this. I have all these different ideas about what a God of love is like, but here Paul tells us what the kindness and love of God is. The kindness and love of God is Christ. And on his baptism, He's identified. We see that here he's walking just as kind of an unknown man at that time. Really didn't have a following. And here, John the Baptist, people have been pointing to him, asking if he's the Messiah. And he's saying, no, one's coming greater than me. And here, Jesus goes to be baptized. And the Holy Spirit shows. And a voice from heaven says, this is my Son, whom I'm well pleased. The love of God is identified, and that changes things. That changes things for you and for me. It changes everything. This moment in time and history that had been prophesied about forever, and now that has happened, that changes things. Well, how does it change things? It says that as he appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. We're going to focus on that saved part in just a bit. But first, notice what we're saved not by. Not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. Notice that Paul has to write that we're not saved because of righteous things we've done. This is one of those things that people put their identity into. You could think about work. You could think about all sorts of things. But the truth is, in life, instead of putting our identity in Christ and God, we often put our identity in many different things. You could say a misplaced identity leads to insecurity. That when I have put my identity wholeheartedly, everything about myself is in this thing or person, or what does it do? There's insecurity. If it's not on the foundation of something that lasts, then there's always a hint of insecurity. And I'm not saying those things, those identities are bad. Your work is not bad. But if I find my whole purpose and meaning in that, then there's a problem. Before we get to the list of some of those things, I'll give an example of how that can happen for a pastor even. Okay? What is my identity? I need to go back to, and if you read those, the resiliency prayers, the first line talks about that my identity is a redeemed child of God. Pastors need to do that too, because otherwise, if a pastor finds their identity in just being a pastor, then what happens if in church only 20 of you show up? Or we have a Bible study downstairs and there's 5 of you. And, you know, people start getting upset at maybe something that happens. And if my identity is all wrapped up in being a pastor, what happens to my emotions? What happens to how I feel and what I think about God and myself? If I'm all wrapped up in that thing, if I put my identity in things that change, well, that can lead to anger and depression and sadness and fear, all these different things. So what are some of the things that we all struggle with misplaced identity? I'm going to put up 4 there. The first one's listed in our text, but deeds, and then sexuality, things, and people. Those are the 4 we're going to look at real quick. We talked a little bit about deeds, about work, but notice here it says first, because of righteous things we've done. And you can say, well, yeah, I don't put my salvation into, you know, being a good person, but do you put your reputation and you define yourself about the good things that you do? Or that you're here and other people aren't, so that makes you a good person, or that you haven't stolen, you're not a thief, you're not this horrible person, you're not like that person. And so even though you know that you're a Christian, you know that you love Jesus and he saves you, but well, what really makes me good is that I'm not like them. We can put our identity in our deeds, our actions. But an important thing is also to understand the flip side of that as well. Can you also put your identity in your deeds when you've done something wrong? When you feel like you can't be forgiven? That no one could love you? That this person will never forgive me? that God hates me because I did this thing. And so in the same way of putting your identity in your good things, sometimes you can put your identity in the wrong things that you've done and say, I'm unlovable. Not even God can forgive me. God hates me. Is your identity the good things you do? No. Is your identity the worst things, the sins that you've committed? It's not even that. And so to understand that you are not your deeds, it's important to understand that you're forgiven, you're loved, and it's about grace and mercy. We'll see that in just a second. But then as we look, we'll go back a slide. We'll wait for that one. We can go back one. if you look at what the world finds their identity in today, what is it all about? Notice it's about being part of a group or looking into my sexuality, right? Your LGBTQ, I have to identify with this thing. And notice that, is your sexuality important? If you get married, if you have kids, all these things, it's part of you, but is it everything that defines you? Is your sexuality everything about you? No, it's one part of you, and who you, especially when you're young, who you like, who you don't like, those things change. As you're older, hopefully if you're married, that doesn't change, but it's still one small part of you, not your whole identity. And while maybe you don't struggle with that, you can think of the same thing as do I identify with one tiny, small part of my life? Go back then to the other struggles that we have of things and people. You struggle with putting your identity in things and people, the stuff you have, the things you've accumulated, the name that you have, the respect that people give to you. Those things you can really find your identity in and struggle with that. But then we think about, well, why is this and all the things that we look at the wrong thing to put our hope in? In the Sunday night study and then in our faculty study, we've been reading a book called Three Words by Pastor Mike Novotny. And he talks about in Ecclesiastes that it says, you know, everything is meaningless, meaningless. You talk about, is that the best translation for that? Well, the word there is hevel for meaningless. But what it really means instead of meaningless is like a breath. If you had to go outside right now and you take a deep breath outside, you see your breath and what happens. You see it for a second, then it's gone. Are these things that we put our identity in, are they good things? Most of the time they're good things, but most of the time they're also very temporary. Sometimes they even though they might feel like they last a long time, the truth is they still are earthly and temporary, like things. You look at houses and material things. If you have any news on and see what's happening in California, I watched some people react, and they said, one day we're swimming in our pool, the next day as the fires come in California, it's all gone. And if you find your whole meaning, your whole purpose in stuff, there's a problem. But then the last one is maybe the most important that we struggle with, is our identity in people. Your relationships with others, because that's most often how we define ourselves, either with work, you introduce yourself, this is what I do, but then you talk about I'm a husband, a father, a child, you're a grandparent. These relationships are very meaningful and awesome and amazing, and cherish those, yes, and pour your heart into them, but also understand that there's something greater and more than that? Are you defined only by that relationship? That's really the question. Or to think about it in this way, if someone makes your life, if it's all about the joy that that person gives you, and what would happen if that person then was taken away? If that person defines your life, can they also break your life? What if God chooses to take home a child? What if God chooses to take home a grandchild? Is God still good? And do you still have an identity if that thing you put everything into is taken away? And again, it's not saying don't love those people or cherish those relationships. It's understanding, though, is there a more eternal identity? The blessings with the family and the relationships is there is an aspect of those relationships that can be eternal. When we focus on this eternal identity. The picture that, we'll go back to that picture now. These are two of my identities. You can see they're a little bit old. One's from Martin Luther College. I look a little bit different there. Someone asked, is that natural blonde hair? And yes, it is. I didn't dye my hair. I just worked outside, and now I just don't get any sun. The other one there, you can see there's Chinese on there. That's one of my college IDs from being in China. But are these identities worth anything anymore? Not really. Those cards, they're pretty much worthless. But do they still have value? Did I gain something from that of being a student? Yes, but it's not an eternal. It's a temporary identity. They had value. They had good things, but that's not who I am anymore. I think that helps us put into perspective that so many of our identities, they are temporary, but there is one that is lasting. We look at what Paul writes when he talks about how God saved us. He saved us not because of righteous things that we've done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Notice over and over again it says he saved us. He saved us. Then he says, whom he poured out on us generously through Christ Jesus our Savior, so that having been justified by grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Most of our identities are not lasting, but we do have a lasting identity in salvation, and that is baptism. That is our identity in Christ, that this thing that takes just a few seconds, this second service will have this short ceremony, this short these words spoken and then water poured on a child, that the actual sacrament, it just takes a few seconds. But the results are eternal. We have an eternal hope because he has made us his heirs. Because he has washed us. He's cleansed us. He's given us his forgiveness. And so we can look to all sorts of different identities, but understand in baptism, God makes us his child, and that is an eternal identity. That what I've done, if I'm struggling with the good, if I'm too proud, I look and say, every one of us, every person needs to be washed because we're born sinful. And if I'm struggling with the sins that I committed and say, I'm not worthy, I say, God has redeemed me and washed me clean. They're erased. They're forgiven. God loves me. And we see how this is done, that he has given us this grace and mercy. He's justified us by his grace. We see it's by mercy. And so this identity, it's a daily grace-filled identity. Yes, it happened once, but don't forget your baptism. Sometimes people say, celebrate your baptism more than your birthday, because your baptism, this eternal blessings, but also understanding what happens in your baptism, that your sinful flesh is drowned and your new self rises new every day. Do you need to be reminded that you're forgiven? that this is your true identity. Because in baptism, you are given the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit makes you a new person. Some days you might not feel like that new person. But our feelings don't always mean the facts. The facts are God has redeemed you. God has given you this truth. You can focus on this all sorts of times as you look at any time in the morning you're using water. Look at the blessings of every time in church when we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's to remind you of your baptism. When we look at what it means to be a Christian, I heard this idea that if my identity is not in baptism, in a gospel identity, you're always going to be grasping for something else. As Augustine says, our hearts will be longing until they are filled with God. You could say there's this cross-shaped heart in your soul, and until you find your greatest identity in Christ, you're always going to be unhappy, always going to be looking for something else. And finally, I heard this great picture. It said, in the early church, Christians were described as fish, right? That was the symbol for Christians. And you can see this on cars. People will put the Jesus fish on places. You, Christian, you're a fish, and the water that you swim in daily is the waters of baptism. Don't jump out of that water. Don't try to escape. Don't try to say you don't need that, but keep on swimming in that beautiful water that gives you your true identity. That you're washed, you're redeemed, you're given grace and forgiveness every day. Find that baptism find your identity in that identity that won't change. The forgiveness of sins in baptism that connects you to your Savior, Jesus, your Lord. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.